Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars. Let us know.
Oh, for sure, 5.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found. And we're back. Shane here.
And Julia here.
And another guest.
Yeah, the youngest guest we ever had on our podcast,
right? In the world. Youngest podcast guest in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
On our podcast.
Yeah. Anyways. Hi, Daniel Bissonnette.
Daniel.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah?
Awesome. Bright and early today, right?
Yeah, good night's sleep. Ready to go take on the world one day at a time?
Yeah. That's awesome. Can you tell the listeners more about yourself?
Yes. Well, ever since as a little boy, I had a huge passion for healthy eating. I was raised on a whole food, plant-based, organic diet. And I thought everybody ate like that. Till I went to school. And from that day on, for 6 years of my life, I was called the weird kid. Bullied because I ate different. And then in grade 3, my teacher asked me to do a presentation of my diet. And that is exactly what I wanted to avoid. I was about to gladly say no. But then it hit me. What if I help just one kid eat healthier? And I did a presentation. And I didn't know what to expect. But to my surprise, kids started trashing their junk, switching to organic food. I wasn't called the weird kid anymore.
That's awesome.
Mission accomplished.
That's awesome. I'm still called the weird kid. And I'm an adult.
Yeah, that was back then, before veganism was the cool thing. I was the only vegan in the entire school. So.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Then they asked me something quite shocking. They said, Daniel, how do you remember and understand all that complex science without even reading your notes? And that is when it hit me. What is it that I'm doing different? What is it that's allowing me to not only outperform my class, but the entire school? And that question stumbled me for about 3 years until I finally found the answer. The whole time, I was activating my genius mode. And my classmates were deactivating their genius mode without even knowing it.
Wow.
You see, we all have genius mode. It's an exceptional power, intellectual or creative. And the difference between people who've accomplished greatness and who haven't depends on whether they've activated their genius mode or not. Well, you see, your body and mind determines whether your genius mode is activated or deactivated.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned this from the bees. The bees know how to hack their biology with nutrition, and they've been doing it through 500 million years of evolution. And so then if they feed a genetically identical larva bee bread made from pollen and honey, she'll develop into a default worker. But if they feed the same larva royal jelly, she'll develop into a queen.
Right.
So would you rather be a worker or a queen?
Worker for me.
A worker or which one?
Or a queen.
A worker or a queen?
I like the worker.
I guess. But is there kings
queen
in the...
Queen is like they don't move much, right?
Is there actual kings, though, in the bee kingdom?
I don't think so.
No, it's...
It's only the female,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But they don't really move much, I think, right? They're a bit lazy, the queen, so... I like movement. Like, if I only sit around, like, I don't function well. Like, we're meant to move, right? So I can feel that in my body.
But I do get your point that, yeah, you want to be, you know, the best you can be, right?
Yeah, but yeah.
Right.
Well, we're not,
I guess.
We're not bees. Yeah. Like you said, like, we're not bees, so...
Yes, and we're not bees.
No matter how much royal jelly I eat, I know I'm not growing any wings or laying any eggs anytime
soon.
<bad. laughs>
Yeah.
But the point is, they know how to turn the genius, the greatness in them, on or off. And we can do the same. It's just the whole time we've been feeding ourselves like a worker and not a queen. And so, yeah. What is the royal jelly for us? What is the royal jelly for humans? And so that made me go on a conquest to find the answers. And turns out there are 13 biohacks to activating your genius mode. And I actually began with the first three in my first book, Daniel's Breakfast Burst, where I had the right foods in the right combinations at the right time. So every recipe was carefully designed to activate your genius mode. But of course, you have to feed your body and mind. So it was a great place to start, Daniel's Breakfast Burst. And then what I mean by that is the right foods are nutrient-packed foods. Your body is constantly rebuilding and repairing itself. 98% of your atoms are replaced each year. And what they're replaced with is up to you. Whatever you eat, your body's able to break that food down to its chemical parts and reassemble those parts into your atoms and the energy you use all day. So your body's only as genius as the food you put in it.
Totally.
And
you are what you eat, in a way.
Yes, to a whole new level. And if your cells are genius, if your atoms are genius, you're made up of them. So you'll be genius. And then you could only be absorbing 10% of the nutrients. Even if you have like the best food ever on the planet, maybe you're only absorbing 10% because that's when the right combinations kick in. You see, when you combine iron with calcium, they inhibit each other. You don't want to do that. You get less bang for your buck for those people who are concerned about money, but then you can activate your genius mode because it's, you know, way less effective because 10% of the nutrients won't do much, even if it's a nutrient-packed food. Luckily, if you combined iron with vitamin C, you will absorb more nutrients. So you can have a really powerful superfood, but only be absorbing 10% of the nutrients. Or you can take the same superfood and absorb even more nutrients by having the right combinations. And so that's what I did in my book. And in the right time, people say, Daniel, why did you do breakfast? Well, because breakfast is the most important meal of the day. A Harvard study found that that's the time out of all three meals when your body's primed to absorb the most nutrients, even the micronutrients. I mean, it makes sense. You've been fasting for 8 hours, and now you're ready to absorb nutrients. And so that's how it works.
Wow.
And that's kind of been my journey. I started a show, the Ask Daniel Show, and now I have a new show, the Daniel Show. And so it's kind of been rolling from there, and now I'm writing my new book, Genius Mode, which is going to be out soon, so that's really exciting.
So you have a lot of kids actually that are interested in wanting to become healthy already? Like, I mean, you hear a lot of adults that want to lose weight and stuff, but do you actually meet a lot of kids that say, hey, Daniel, I want to eat healthier. Can you help me to get on a healthy track?
Well, actually, kids, you see, no matter how hard we try, most kids aren't going to get excited about eating food as medicine. I mean, because even the sick don't want to eat medicine. Like, if you can look at it from a different angle of activating your genius mode, that's the ultimate health. That's taking it to the next level. Because when people think healthy eating, they think, you know, being at peak health and maybe being at pretty good performance or peak performance. But what if you're at ultimate performance? What if you unlock your exceptional power, intellectual or creative, the one that we all have? That is the ultimate level of health. And the thing is, you can't activate your genius mode if you're not healthy. And so that's the trick.
Right.
You know, like kids are like, I want to activate my genius mode. Well, I share with them how they can do it. But in the process, they're going to be healthy because, you know, right, you have to be healthy if you want to activate your genius mode.
But do kids really know the difference, though? You know, like learning to like make, like playing toys and playing outside with the kids, like, what if they don't even think of like activating the genius mode? Like, how do you inspire them? Like, if you, like, school, let's say at school.
Well, so let me actually, because I was about to finish something with, that's why I began with my book, Daniel's Breakfast Burst, because I made it very simple so kids can make it in, like, 5 minutes or less, and they're carefully designed so they don't have to think twice, and then go about their daily lives making their own breakfast, and you're already a third of the way, and you already mastered the most important meal of the day. And how are you going to master the big things if you can't even master the little things that make the biggest difference? And, you know, actually, there's this one girl who, interesting story. She used to pick on me in elementary school for what I ate. And then in middle school, all of a sudden, the first year, she's like, Daniel, can I buy your book?
Oh,
and now she's a huge fan. And she's like going on it. It's just so cool to see that. Like, it was really, really interesting, that shift. Like, all of a sudden, she's like, Daniel, can I buy your book? Like, so it was really, really interesting.
Right.
It was fun because, like, seeing the kids who were bullying me for the longest, all of a sudden are like now admiring me, and I'm like, well, you know, we all have a genius mode. It's not just me, it's everyone else, all the people, all the great minds. There's this picture, if you type in Google, all the great vegans and vegetarians, you will find that, like, the great geniuses of all time, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, like, all these people, Steve Jobs, and it's just crazy. These people have all been eating consciously, and they've also been the great geniuses.
Right.
So that's interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, this is a kind of a different subject, but going on to, like, how your experiences in school, kids in general are used to having a lot of toys. How about your experience, because you find more experience in helping people or expressing people health and being on a health pathway. Do you think that was more important than playing with toys at your age? Or you had a good,
well,
healthy balance between it?
Yeah. I think a big part was also, these days it's harder for kids to get out there because of video games. Like, my parents, when I was little, they would not let me play any video games.
Smart.
Other than maybe, other than maybe when I sneak on the iPad. And now I realize this is ridiculous. Like, what am I doing? So I just deleted all of the video games. But, I mean, I only had, like, two or three, and I really only used one of them. And it was just, I rarely played it because my parents were just educating me about the video games turning into a zombie. Like, they don't
unlock your genius, right?
Oh, they definitely don't.
And they bring your genius level down, for sure.
Instead of it's deactivating your genius level, but instead of going out there and making a difference, they say they're exercising their fingers. Like, what is this?
I was so confused.
You can do guitar. You can play guitar or piano and exercise your fingers.
Yeah,
as well.
Like,
at least you can open up your mind, right?
That will activate genius because it goes through neuroplasticity, creating new neurons in your brain, which boosts your mental performance and intelligence.
Exactly.
Versus video games, you're creating a neuron connection of, I gotta go sit down on the couch, play video games, exercise my fingers.
And that's,
that's the best thing they can think of. And then, you know, win the level. Win the level. What about changing people's lives? What about changing your own life? How are you supposed to help others if you can't even help yourself? And so I think the big thing was not playing video games. Like, toys are fine. Toys you can have fun with. Like, I enjoy playing Nerf with my brother. I have this thing called Laser X, which I love. It's a laser tag set. So I enjoy playing that outside. And then, and I do have, like, sword fights with my brother outside. That's always fun. Play Lego because, you know, Lego is a creative genius unless you just buy a Lego set.
Right.
And just
there you can see actually experiences are more important than things in life, right? Actually, the experiences shape our brain, right? And not really how many things we have, because as a kid we already accumulate so many toys, right? But you did it the right way, I feel like.
Balance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely, because the neural connections are sugar is a huge genius deactivator. Fructose is one part of sugar. There's fructose and glucose. Glucose, your brain can use as fuel. Alzheimer's is actually where your brain stops using glucose as fuel. So when the brain doesn't have any fuel, it starts shrinking up. And, you know, so there are ketones, which is a cleaner fuel that can come from MCT, medium chain triglycerides. They get converted into ketones by the liver. And they are awesome brain fuel. You can buy MCT oil, like, it's crazy. More importantly, though, is, of course, the essential fatty acid omega-3, because that your brain needs. Like, it needs fuel, but omega-3 is basically what helps build the brain and protect the neurons. It actually can reverse the damage from sugar. Now, when I say reverse the damage from fructose, what fructose does is it damages the neurons in your brain. Neurons connections and neurons are like your skills, your thinking patterns, your habits, everything in the brain. It's all the conscious, your consciousness. It's coming from these neurons, and these neurons are being destroyed by fructose. And then, of course, you can reverse the damage if you take a lot of omega-3s. But why not have the benefits of omega-3s instead of just reversing your damage? Like, you shouldn't just say, okay, I'm going to have this much omega-3s and this much sugar in the day. No, sugar is something you want to avoid, especially refined sugar, because what happens is nature's very smart. Whenever they make something high in sugar, they balance it out with fiber. Sugar cane is like the most fibrous thing. It's bamboo.
Yeah.
Like, we can't eat that, but it has so much fiber to compensate for the sweetness. They have to press all the sugar juice out, and then they dry it up. And that's great for us to taste and stuff, but it's not good at all, because then it goes straight in your bloodstream, and it has all these side effects that we don't want. But, you know, it's tasty and it's addictive. The reason it's addictive is very interesting. Back then, we were cavemen, and we would need, like, there would be berries once in a while because of the seasons, and then that'd be, you know, fuel for hunting and all that. So we needed it, so we'd crave it. Our bodies would crave it. Every time we got to eat some sugar, like some fruits and berries, we'd go all over it. That's why we love berries and fruits these days, but then they manipulated that through sugar, which is higher concentration, and then your body goes, oh my God, even though we're not like hunting anymore or running around and, you know, surviving and building homes and huts and stuff, but we still have that in our, you know, in our genes, in our neuron connections, in our brain, in our reptilian brain, the survival brain. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's and then we love it, and then we deactivate our genes. So there's always a way around these things by choosing better quality sugars, like for fruits, and eating whole fruit instead of juice. Like, parents think juice is great for their kids. Their kids are deactivating their genius when they give them juice. Juice is like sugar water with maybe a few vitamins, but honestly, I don't know. By the time that thing was juiced and packaged and delivered and bought and all the way till you drink it, I don't know what's left in it other than the sugar water. Like, because there's no fiber. It goes straight in your bloodstream. Yeah. It's like drinking sugar water, but marketed as healthy. So that's a big genius deactivator. So,
yeah. Definitely. Yeah, talking about school again, like, how do you package, like, what type of package do you use for your lunch? Like, do you take your lunch, I guess, right, from, like, to school?
Like, yeah, do you package it in glass, or is it, like, a stainless container? Because obviously...
Yeah, we're curious about, because we're, like, thinking a lot about...
Plastics, we know aren't the best, right?
My mom packed... My mom and would usually pack my lunch, and so she'd put it in a thermos, and she'd make quinoa with vegetables or buckwheat with vegetables.
Oh,
I mean, now I make my lunches.
Oh, nice.
But,
nice.
Yeah, so it's in a thermos, and that would be good. Or sometimes I'd bring a seed mix, and every time I'd eat seeds, really, because grains aren't really the best. And so seeds, I'd eat that, and then kids would call me. They'd make fun of me
still?
And say I was eating bird food.
What?
Because I was eating seeds.
They still say, like, I'm eating bird food, all the people I work with. Oh, Shane's just eating bird food. I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah, at least birds can fly and soar. Get ahead, way above all.
They don't say, Daniel, are you growing any wings yet? As a person, it was just like, it wasn't very fun for me. Eventually, I learned to put my hands over my thermos so no one could see what I was eating. I was tired of people asking me, "Hey, Daniel, what are you eating today?"
Right.
It wasn't very fun. So I just learned to. And then my teacher asked me what I was eating, and so that's when I did the presentation.
Right. That's great.
Well, I didn't want to, because why should I do a presentation in front of everyone bullying me about my diet?
Right.
It wouldn't make any sense. But, you know, it hit me. What if I help just one kid eat healthier?
Exactly. That's how it goes. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, the world is full of unhealthy food temptations. And, like, how do you stay away from it the easiest way? Let's say for a beginner, like, what do you suggest?
Especially being surrounded by it,
yeah, like
everywhere. You go
mainstream.
To a birthday party, and there's a birthday cake, and there's pizza, and there's candies, and there's, you know, there's so many temptations.
Yeah. No vegan food or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, my parents have always raised me on a informed diet, so I knew what I was eating. I actually, one time I was learning all this stuff, I was being about maybe 7, and I really want to know what a marshmallow tasted like. Right. And so we were camping out with our friends, and then I was roasting marshmallows for them, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to try a little bit. So I tried it, and it was really sweet, and I'm like, what is this? This is like sort of official.
Yeah.
And then... And again, I had a stomach ache, and I felt so bad. And then my parents figured it out, and then it made me feel even worse. But I just like, I'm never having that again. Like, it just, it's like, it doesn't appeal to me. Why would I want? And now that I know Genius deactivators are, you know, all these candies big time, like they're like concentrated sugar with artificial flavors and or natural flavors. You know, who knows what's in that? Just because it's named natural, like technically. Any of these natural, there are some, when they say natural food dye or something like that, it's usually they can take the crushed beetles and take their blood and just so they can color the food. It's just kind of really gross. And so when they say, but it's considered natural.
Yeah, the
right?
deeper you look into things, the more you wonder how the world really works. And it's just,
exactly.
just so weird.
It's,
I was actually, when I was younger, my mom, like when I was really young, about when I first started preschool, I was like, what are kids eating? I thought it was art supplies. Because my mom would always buy me like these, the Jell-O or the fishy crackers, and I'd make art with it. And it was the coolest thing. Like what I did is I would, I even did this at school when we were, it was so funny because I didn't even know what we were doing. I'm like, it was lunchtime. So like lunchtime, and they put Jell-O and fishy crackers. So I get a sheet of paper out, I smear the Jell-O all over the paper like I've already done at home, and then I glue the fishy crackers on like an ocean. And then the teacher comes by and says, Daniel, what are you doing?
That's food.
Like I'm making art.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
And then I was shocked. And then I go get my lunch out, my thermos, and I start eating my food, and then the kids are like, Daniel, what are you eating? I'm like, it's quinoa. Like, quinoa? Like, it was like, they didn't even know what it was. I'm just so surprised. And they're like, that looks really disgusting.
Wow.
And then that was the first kind of little bit of bullying. And one kid was like, okay, you know what? I really want to figure out why? Well, I don't know what was going through this kid's head. I think he just wanted my chocolate bar. But my mom would once in a while make me delicious chocolate bars. But it was good because I know what was in it. Well, I didn't know back then, but I know my mom made good chocolate. And so I'd always have a fun time wrapping the chocolate bar with my mom. And then I'd bring it to school. And one day, I left my lunch bag out, and one kid stole my chocolate bar.
What?
Oh.
And ate it all up?
It's
didn't leave you one little piece?
Full of chocolate. He had the wrapper right next to him. I felt like I was devastated. You know when someone steals your little treat? I felt like that. But my mom said, it's fine. I'll make you more. He gets to try out, you know, good chocolate. And it was like the first kid who was like curious about, or maybe he just wanted chocolate, and I don't know.
Who knows,
but
yeah.
It was.
I'm curious, actually, how do you do it if you get invited to birthday parties? Like, and it's hardly any vegan food. Like, how do you like? I guess like you won't eat the birthday cake, or like, are they usually accommodating you, or like, how does it work for you?
Okay. First off, when I look at birthday cakes, they look like the most disgusting things ever with artificial, like what is it, fluorescent colors, these Lego guys on it, this edible paper, like, what is this? Like, this the art on it, like, this drawing on it, like, it looks just so artificial and disgusting. And then, like, just thinking about what's in it is already another big ordeal. But I was, you know, raised on a informed diet, like I said. So my parents, you know, informed me about it. And I would just say, no, I'm not going to have a birthday cake. I'm fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The only time I'd ever have a birthday cake was, actually, my parents had a friend and my brother. Well, it was my brother's and parents' friend, and I would always play with him. So my parents would always talk to his parents, and then they would get informed while I was eating. And so he actually, for his birthday, he made a really good cake. It was a healthy cake, like kind of like what my dad would make. A different recipe, though. But so I ate that, and that was the first time I actually had a cake at someone else's birthday party. So that was fun.
Nice.
But other than that, I just say no. Like, one time, I say, I'm vegan. This one guy's like, oh, you're one of those people?
Yeah. do you usually bring your own food to a birthday party in anticipation that the food's bad?
No, I would just, I eat before.
Oh, you eat before. Okay, right. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so where do you see your future going? Because it's skyrocketing right now.
So. Honestly, I have no idea. Because back then when I was 9, I didn't know I discovered genius mode. Time will tell. Like, I know right now my goals are to finish my new book, Genius Mode. I'm super excited about that. I've been writing for about 2 years now. And, it's just, I'm really, really excited. And it's a great book. I've put in so much energy and effort, and you know, I can't wait to get it out there and share it with the world.
Are you doing a book tour once your book is out?
I don't know yet because I'm still in the process of writing the book. Like, I'm almost done writing it. I'm actually going to be speaking at Zen Lounge May 16th in Vancouver. So,
okay,
awesome.
And also, you guys can stay tuned to my Instagram. It's the Daniel Bissonnette.
Okay.
BissonnetteTTE or Daniel Bissonnette on YouTube, and I have weekly episodes on YouTube where I share with you how you can activate your genius mode and really cool hacks to do cold immersion. Instagram, I have daily little lessons snippets in my life, and then also Facebook. So
that's awesome. Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes so people can find you and get inspiration. I'm sure tons of kids want to know about how you're living your life and and how you go about doing and unleashing your genius mode, right?
Totally.
So that's what we got to do in life.
We need to motivate more kids, you know, because we always want to belong to a tribe, right? That's the problem. Like, it's although the media is always saying, oh, be yourself, but then it's actually fake. You know, they want everyone pretty much to be the same, because if you're different, then you're a weirdo. But I think the art about life is being different. And spreading peace, you know?
I'd rather be a weirdo than the same zombie that's in the video game.
And eating
does the same thing as everyone else, so.
How are you supposed to be a genius if you're not different? Think Albert Einstein was the same as everyone else?
Totally.
If he's the same as everyone else, he had the same IQ as everyone else. He'd have the same, you know, intelligence as everyone else. He'd be doing the same thing as everyone else. He wouldn't be a genius.
Right.
And also, he had so many limitations. Another message is the elephants in a circus. They captivate the elephant, put a chain around its foot or leg, and it's stuck. And so the baby elephant tries to escape, and he can't escape. And then he's a big elephant, but he has a neuron connection in his brain that is no good. And so oftentimes you'll see giant elephants just lying there with a rope wrapped around their leg, not even attached to anything. It's just the fact the rope is around their leg that easily they could snap it, even if it was attached to a post.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't. It's just being around their leg. And so they have this mental chain. It's not a physical chain anymore. It's mental. And elephants are one of the smartest creatures of all time. Actually, a portion of proceeds from my book go to Borneo Wildlife Preservation to help the Borneo pygmy elephants, who are the cutest elephants in the world, but they're really endangered. And it's all because of palm oil. And people think they're vegan, they're doing good to the environment, and they eat their palm oil cookies and or like palm oil shampoo. Palm oil has over 200 different names. It's in 50% of all the packaged food products, and it's just food. It's in everything. Soaps to shampoos to, like, you can probably find palm oil in every single room of your house in a form or another. And it's really doing bad to the environment. So if you think you're vegan, but you really want to be sustainable and actually do good to the environment, then that's why I push for my book or the Borneo Wildlife Preservation. And if you want to avoid palm oil, you should just make food yourself and buy whole food that you know hasn't been processed and hasn't been, you know, ingredients haven't been snuck in there with different names. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, or you can find the 200 different names and try to spot it.
Yeah.
It's too much
crazy.
Work.
Yeah,
but,
it's
yeah.
A lot.
So, here's what I always say. If you know all the ingredients on the list, it probably does not palm oil, unless it says palm oil, obviously. But mm-hmm. So, yeah, also, if it's a sustainable palm oil, like I have palm oil, I consume it on a weekly basis, and it's nice to cook with, and it's really good, but it's sustainable on it, and it's not grown in Malaysia or Borneo or where all this is happening. It's grown sustainably. Because palm oil is not the problem. It's where they grow it. It's how they do it. They cut down rainforest for these monocrops, and then it's just like, it's no biodiversity whatsoever. They call it the green desert because there's no biodiversity at all. And so a portion proceeds to go from my book, go to that. And also, let's get back to the elephants. So they're really, really clever. They are the only creatures other than humans who can actually recognize themselves in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And they have a mental chain. Because they're so clever, they also have neurons. Well, mm-hmm. They also have thinking capacity. They also have learning steps, and they can learn very easily. Mm-hmm. Same as us. We have so many mental chains. We've been programmed by our parents, by kids at school, by our teachers. Albert Einstein was told, he couldn't talk until he was four. His teachers gave him horrible grades and didn't think he'd amount to much. He didn't let that stop him, though. And that's why he became a genius. Did he say, imagine if Albert Einstein said, you know what, my teachers and parents don't think I can do it. You know what, forget it. I'm not going to pursue my dream. Right? Imagine if he said that. Then what would happen? Or we wouldn't be as advanced as we are now. Because his science is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. Mathematical formulas are everything. Like, they're being studied now, and he's one of the greatest geniuses of all time. But it's because he didn't want that mental chain stop him. There's this one friend I had named Leo, and he had a lot of mental chains, and it was constantly deactivating his genius mode. Every time after school, he'd grab a bag of chips and watch TV. And then, it's not fair. You get to travel so many fun places and skip school. I'm like, Leo, when you come home, you have a bag of chips, you watch TV. When I come home, I make my own meal, and I get to work. And then I shared with him how you can activate his genius mode. He went through my 10-day Activate Genius private coaching program. It's going to be on the website soon, or you can just email me. And what's really great about this is that I go through 10-minute calls throughout 10 days, and I share with you how you can activate your genius. I relate it to you and give you practical tips, whereas I can't really do that through a book, but I can do that through the program. And mm-hmm. You'll also be getting new information that hasn't been released yet through my book and other information that I won't be releasing in my book. So that's going to be on the website soon. I'm just finishing that up, but that's really awesome. Cool. So maybe if you're watching
going on.
Is that for adults too, or is that just for kids only?
Good question.
What?
Is the genius mode, the 10-day thing, only for kids only or for adults as well?
No, it's for everyone.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, great. Awesome. Well, such a great
inspiration. Yeah, actually, speaking of genius mode, we all have a different genius mode. For example, maybe not everyone is like me. Like, I love speaking. That's my genius mode. My brother plays the violin, and that's his genius mode.
Right.
And you can really see that it expressed through him. Like, he's not as talkative like me. Like, I'm a verbal mind, so my genius is talking. Like, I love talking. I talk so much.
Even in my dreams?
Can't handle it. Okay, not in my dreams. My teachers can't handle it either because they're not, it's not really the kind of kids are used to. I love talking. I'm always, my mind is always, thinking through talking. And so I have an idea and I want to share it, but I have to raise my hand. And the problem with raising your hand is then your mind is moving on to new thoughts, or you just hold on to your one thought. And so instead of advancing, you're just holding on till you get picked. And then there's all this moving forward in your mind that you could have done, but instead you're just waiting for you to get picked. And then sometimes you don't even get picked. And then you keep holding on to your idea. Yeah. And then, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to call out. I'm going to share my idea because I want to keep thinking. And I want to share my idea because I think it's important. And so I share my idea. Especially in math class, too. That's the only occasion where I had to stop because my teacher said, Daniel, you have to let the other kids also think. But for other things where we're, it's an environment where we're kind of like asking questions and answering them and bouncing ideas off each other, I'm not going to wait to get picked. It doesn't work like that. That's not how the mind works. The mind shouldn't be contained by one idea.
Well, I think the whole school system is like a disciplinary containment to put you as society. So if you're trying to unleash your genius mode, unfortunately, school will only help you so much.
Right.
Exactly. It's made not for the 21st century.
Right.
The 21st century, they're getting into inquiry. There's an inquiry hub for high school where you can go about your own thing and do what you're passionate about. We're doing these things in school called passion projects where you do whatever you want for 7 weeks, I think, or something like that, where you kind of, I think it was a week, actually. Or, no, sorry, it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks, find whatever you want, you go for it. And then you learn for those 3 weeks, like, playing the guitar, or whatever you're passionate about that you don't already know how to do.
That's
cool. So, school systems are adapting. It's a little slow.
Yeah.
But at least there's growth. At least there's growth.
Right. And there's, after school.
Yeah, I just thought of it
and
too.
There's other times that you can always, release your genius mode.
For exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Seizing your time.
The rest of your time that you have and making the most of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow.
Anyways, Daniel, it's been great chatting with you this morning.
Great talk.
Yeah. We'll have to have you back on the podcast another time and we'll see how the school life's going and your talks and your new book.
Right, and thanks for inspiring, the young ones. That's where we start, and you reap what you sow in a way, right? And you started in your generation already, so that's great. Keep on doing it and stay motivated, right? That's important, too, to stay happy and healthy. Right. And
remember to think plant-based, because that's your genius fuel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Body and feeding the mind the right foods, the right fuel to activate your genius mode.
Definitely. Yeah. Sounds good. Okay, enjoy the sunshine out there here in Vancouver, BC. And maybe we
have
see you
weekend.
At the Veg Expo coming up, right?
At the end of the month, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, we're still figuring out. We don't know for sure yet if we'll be there, but hopefully. Okay. I've been there, actually. I've been at the Veg Expo every single year.
Oh, wow.
We don't know yet this year, but it's a really awesome event. It's great.
It is. Okay, well, take care and enjoy your weekend as well. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.